Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who comforts us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight we see our Savior and our Lord hung upon a cross. Tonight, as we hear the scriptures, we see that he is stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He is crushed. He is pierced. And by this work, he heals us. This evening, we see that our Lord goes very far to redeem us from our sins. As our Lord Jesus becomes the suffering servant of God, his Father. Tonight, as we look at the passion of Jesus, we read the prediction of that passion from God's prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah tells us about God's suffering servant who will redeem Israel from her sins. As we see, as we read this evening from Isaiah 53, we see the servant's song and how the servant of the Lord suffers. He suffers hatred, abuse, wounds, and bitter death so that God's people would be called righteous. And we think of what this service produces. For Jesus, it means that which is perfect and wholly beautiful becomes something shameful and ugly. But for us, it means that which is shameful and ugly becomes beautiful. That is what the suffering of Christ is. We consider who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, begotten from eternity. Hebrews 1 tells us that he is the radiance of the glory of God. And Colossians says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And so then, if there is anything beautiful or perfect, it is Christ, the Son of God. Yet when we look at him in the servant song of Isaiah, we see that he is not viewed as perfect and beautiful. As we read, "For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." And certainly to the world, this is true. The Son of God coming down to earth was not beloved and beautiful in the eyes of sinful man. As people look at Christ, and they say, "Oh, how ugly, how wicked, how unrighteous." This is certainly what the leaders of the Jews saw when they looked at Christ during his earthly ministry. As their sinful flesh looked at Jesus and saw nothing beautiful, wonderful, or good, but they saw a threat. A threat to what they desired, a threat to what they loved. And they loved authority, power, wealth, prestige. They loved that their positions offered them these things as they lorded their righteousness over the people. And this is actually what they sought to challenge Jesus over. When they challenged Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, they come to him when he disputes with them in the temple, and they try to discredit his authority. And why? Because he was a challenge to their authority. They ask him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things," or "Who is it that gave you this authority?" In other words, Jesus was preaching the gospel. Jesus was healing the sick. Jesus was casting out demons. Jesus was proclaiming that the day of the Lord had come and the Lord was here. And they're mad at him. They're mad at him because they didn't ask him. He didn't ask them for permission. It was not beautiful for them to be served by the living God with the gospel of forgiveness. And why? They despised God's forgiveness. They didn't want it. They wanted a religion that gave them power in this life, here and now and today. They wanted nothing of the man of sorrows. They wanted nothing of humility before the throne of God. Their religion was ugly. So ugly that they would deny God in trying to get rid of Jesus. As God was to be the true King of Israel, God was to be their ruler and Lord. Yet as we'll read during the Passion reading, when Pilate asked, seeking a way to free Jesus, "Shall I crucify your king?" They do not say, "Our only king is God." No, they cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." They would rather align themselves with the human power of Caesar than with the living God. And that's because Christ was ugly. It was more appealing to have the Romans ruling over them than the Son of the living God. And so they killed him. And they rejoiced over his sorrows. We read from Isaiah, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. They mocked him. As they stood at the foot of his cross, they cry out, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from that cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him if he desires for him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" As Christ suffers, as Christ is humiliated, as Christ is in agony upon the cross, they stand before him to mock him. They see him smitten, stricken, and afflicted. And this is when they attack him with their words. And they believe that his sorrows lend them credibility. And this is once again also ugly. Yet in the actions of those who hated Jesus, we see what dwells in our own hearts. What makes you so sure that you would not be one of those people who stands at the foot of the cross mocking Christ and his suffering? You possess the same flesh that the leaders of the Jews had. Their sinful desires are common to every man. The ugliness of their religion, their rejection of the Son of God, their hatred for the good, their delight in the wicked are all things that dwell in the heart of every fallen sinners. You, dear sinners, and I, chief of the sinners, have the same capacity for evil that they have. As we all want to think that we would be one of the faithful gathered at the feet of the cross, not abandoning Christ, but not even St. Peter, nor any of the disciples save John, could have claimed that about themselves. As Christ on the cross was rejected, even by those who claimed to love him the most. And yet this is what makes the work of the suffering servant so wonderful. As we bear heavy hearts, laden with sin, laden with failure, laden with unrighteousness and lack of love, we remember that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The power that our fallen flesh has over us is put to an end in this truth. As Christ is pierced, crushed, chastised, and wounded, it is for a purpose. As he suffers and dies for the sins of the world, our flesh dies upon the cross. As we contemplate the suffering of Jesus, we ought to think of ourselves as the ones who tormented, flogged, crowned him with thorns, and crucified Jesus. It was not just Pilate, it was not just the Sanhedrin, but it is you and I. We are the ones who pierced him. We are the ones who scourged his body. We are the ones who smile as the crown of thorns tears at his flesh. We are the ones who fling insults as the nails are driven into his hands. And yet, as we know this, it is to this that Jesus willingly goes. He does not say a word in protest. He does not command 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him. No, the suffering servant goes through his work willingly. He does the will of his Father willingly. He does the work of saving you willingly. As he was oppressed and he was afflicted, we read in Isaiah, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. It's amazing. Jesus desires the insult. He embraces the agony. He delights in the sorrows. For every strike of the whip, every harsh word spoken to him, every pound of the hammer, every second he is upon the cross, all of it was the price that had to be paid to redeem you from the bondage of your wicked flesh. This is how he saves us. As it says in Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus willingly becomes something weak, something small, something ugly. A man scourged and hung upon a tree to die. His body is destroyed. He dies, and in the Holy One's destruction, you and I are healed. We are made in his image once again. That is what his suffering and death does for us. As we read in the scriptures, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The work of the suffering servant does not fall short. It accomplishes everything that he intends it for. As he has remade you in his image, he takes on your humble state so that you may be exalted before him. And so then we live in humility before him. We live by faith and repentance so that we contend with all that dwells in our sinful flesh as we have its destruction set before us. When we are prideful, we look to his humility. When we are sinful, we look to his body that is torn to ribbons, knowing that those stripes heal us. When we are assailed by sickness and sorrow, I see how he was despised and rejected by men, a man of many sorrows, and he does this to redeem me in my mortal body. We can see how our Lord, who suffered so much for our sake, has loved us. And so we see the service of Christ. As he is the true suffering servant of God, his love is true love, his work is faithful work, and he suffers to free us from our sins. As Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It is the Son of God who serves you. He is the lamb who goes quietly to his slaughter. He is the one who dies for sinners, not as an unwilling victim, but as a loving Lord. He suffers for us because he is merciful and he loves us. So today, this evening, as we hear the passion of our Christ read to us, be comforted. Know that the work of the suffering servant of God has done what Jesus intended it to do. Yes, he was pierced. Yes, he was wounded. Yes, he was crushed. And through it, you are healed. You are forgiven. You are made whole and being reconciled with your God who loves you. He comes in perfect humility to reclaim what is his. And he has claimed his people by buying them back from their captors with the precious blood that pours from his side and the bitter suffering and death that he endures. And it is worth it for him. Even if it was our hands that wounded him, even if it was our voices that mocked him and our hearts that denied him, he goes faithfully to save us. We even hear this in the heart of Christ as he's hung upon the cross saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing." And so know then that your sins are forgiven. Your God has accomplished all that is necessary to redeem you from them. And you are not the only ones who hang him on the cross, but you, his mercy, we are also the ones who are hung upon the cross with him. Your sin, your flesh, that dies with Jesus. Your sin dies upon that cross with Christ, and you are given a new life of water and the Spirit as you have been redeemed and ransomed so that you are made into something altogether new and wonderful before your God. That is what it means to be a baptized child of God in Christ Jesus. It means his death is your death. His life is your life. The suffering servant takes all that is bad, all that is ugly, all that is wicked, all that is sinful in you, and fills you with all that is good, all that is beautiful, all that is perfect, and all that is righteous in him. And this should give us joy. Even as we see our Savior upon the cross, he is there because he loves us. His desire is to free us from all sin, from shame and death. And this is what his suffering service accomplishes. We are made into holy children of God through the righteous and loving work of Christ. My friends, see how he loves you. See how he bears his cross. And rejoice. Rejoice in him who bears this burden for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, Mr.